Hello, and welcome to the Novel Traveller podcast. My name is Michelle Walsh Jackson, and I'm the Novel Traveller. Well, this week I have a real treat. After chatting with my good friend Elaine Crowley for so many years on her show, The Elaine Show on Virgin Media One, I finally get to turn the tables on her, and we get to speak about her favourite travel experiences. We also have a little bit of reminiscing about some trips we've been on ourselves. We are both so ready for a trip anywhere and the sooner the better that I also caught up with Michelle Maguire, the CEO at Ireland's Blue Book. And she took me on a virtual trip around Ireland with some novel ideas for a two-centre holiday. I'll also be speaking about these on The Elaine Show next Tuesday at 3pm. So if you'd like to hear some great ideas, do stay tuned to the end of the podcast. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy Novel Travel. Well, with me today, I have my very dear friend, Elaine Crowley, who you will know from Virgin Media. She has her own show, one of the few people in the country with her own show named after her. And she not only presents it, but she produces it. Not a lot of people know that, Elaine. You're a very busy lady.
I'm a very busy lady. The three of us on the show are very busy, actually. Myself and Sinead and Kelly. We're busy, busy, busy bees all the time.
Absolutely. I know how hard you guys work. And it's great fun talking to you about travel. I look forward to my bi-weekly slot, checking in and talking about all the lovely places that you know, listeners and viewers can travel to. And I do feel a little bit of optimism at the moment now. And please God, now this summer, we'll all be able to get around the country somewhere nice. But I really wanted to know, how do you feel about that? Do you think we'll get out?
I think once the vaccinations are rolled out, we've got vaccination passports. It's looking good.
Yeah, I think we've got to be optimistic.
I think so too.
So, what was your first holiday that you recall?
Abroad or at home?
Either.
Well, my first holiday at home would have been to Ballyhigh with my family when I was small, only in primary school. But my first holiday abroad, I went to Paris when I was 14, just going on 15. I was there for my birthday and I was visiting my auntie Angela, who lived in Neuilly in Paris. So went there with my sister, and it was the year Euro Disney opened. So we went on to Euro Disney, went on to Versailles, travelled Paris, myself and my sister in her teens, and stayed with my aunt. So that was lovely.
Oh my God, that must have been amazing memories. You know, it must have been gorgeous.
And I remember the price of the flights back then were massive. I was saving up all summer for the flight. It was 300 and something quid when you look at that now, it seems, throw that back to, what is it? Beige of mine now, God almighty, it's nearly 30 years ago now. If you throw it back then, it was huge price. We were so lucky now in the fact that flights have come down so much.
Absolutely.
And travel is so much more accessible now.
Yeah, absolutely. And places like Paris will stay with you forever when you've been. I think you had some other great experiences in Paris after that, didn't you?
Well, I've been a few times to Paris now with my family, because my aunt used to live there and we went over for my mother's 70th, myself and my sisters. And I've popped in and out there a few times now. Paris is lovely. Parisians I'm not so fond of, but Paris itself is beautiful.
I always find if you try and speak French, even pidgin French, they appreciate it and they're a little bit nicer to you. That's what I mean. It works for me.
My French wasn't too bad now, but it's because I did French in college as well. But I suppose if you don't use it, you lose it. So I sometimes feel like an awful aegis, although I do remember once I went to Brussels and made the mistake of speaking French in a Flemish bar. So I won't do that again.
That's actually worse than speaking English.
I'd be better off speaking Swahili than I was.
You would have been. And you know, the Belgian beer, my goodness, it's amazing up there in that part of the
blows
world.
The head off you. It's not amazing.
It stays.
No one mourns you at all.
Now, Elaine, I'm going to ask you what the funniest thing that happened to you on holiday is. And it's I know had a massive of experience, loads of different experiences and disasters. Because you'd
like
often text me. You would send me these
in a panic.
But can you pinpoint one at least that was really funny?
Do you only want one? Well, I suppose. I'll tell you one that I don't think I've told you this before. This has nothing to do with you or press trips, so you'd be delighted to hear it. So I'll keep away from them. I won't blame you for this one. It was my very first time skiing, and I went to Andorra, and there was a gang of about 14 or 20, a massive gang of us. I didn't know many of them before, but I'd never even put a pair of ski boots on or a set of skis on. And So I went down, hired the stuff, put it on. And, you know, it was one of those chair lifts that they go around and you slowly get on one and then you hop on and you go way up the mountain. And you, anyway, so I did that. And my sister was with me as well. And she was dawdling, as my mother would say, dawdling along. She was taking ages to go on. So your man slapped her arse, got her on the keeling. She went ahead of me, Mona, she hopped on it. And then it was my turn next. So I slid on it. And then I was going, oh my goodness, this is a bit dangerous. So I was sitting on the chair, hanging on to the side. I didn't realize you had to pull the thing over your head to keep you
in. Oh, you
so
didn't.
All
no.
the way up
no.
the mountain.
No.
Just kind of hanging on to the side. Going, nobody warned me that this could be quite life-threatening. So I hadn't a clue. And I remember, then I saw, of course, people as they're going, oh, people lifting the thingy off. And oh, yeah, maybe I should have done that. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Did you ever see that Bridget Jones, Edge of Reason?
And the same, when she's getting
The ski, yeah. So getting up, see, however bad it was getting on, it was marginally worse getting off it, because I'd never, as I may have mentioned, never skied before. So I was just watching what people are doing, and you kind of slid off and went down a slope. So did you ever play a game of Skittles?
Yes.
Imagine I'm the bowling ball, and there's a lovely set of German tourists that are
you
the
didn't.
Skittles. I careered down like a bat out of hell. Went flying into them, knocked over the half of them and landed on my arse.
I would have loved to have been there and seen that. Oh, God help you. That must have been absolutely hilarious. When everybody just in stitches around.
No place is laughing at me. No place is laughing at me. There's the Irish girl, clearly. We all started skiing back then. So, yeah, there was I, like a big E just flew down off the thing. I could have died. I could have fallen off the yoke and died.
Bridget Jones has obviously copied, they were obviously copying you or copying someone like you at
that,
one time.
That and my trips to Thailand would be very Bridget Jonesy, let me tell you.
And you do love Thailand. I mean, we do talk about this a lot. We do say how much we love Thailand.
I never shut up about it.
What is it that you really love about it?
I remember Michelle Jackson, you being the seasoned travel writer that you were, telling you, you won't believe it until you go to Thailand. It'll be your favourite place in the world. And you were like, oh, maybe, maybe not. I've travelled the world. I love this place. Right. I love that place. And you literally have travelled everywhere. Was I right?
Oh,
I
yes.
was right.
Yeah,
there is something magical in the air there. I don't really do the cities. I like going to the islands and more rural areas. But the people are just, they call it the land of smiles for a reason, because the people are just absolutely lovely. There's a very holistic vibe to the place. Obviously, there's another side of Thailand, the bars and all that sort of stuff. I haven't really experienced that. Well, actually, accidentally once. I'll get to that later. But you know, the it's just a very spiritual, relaxing place, and I love being there. It's just my happy place. I go there, and every ounce of tension seeps out of my body. Spend a week or two there. I go there on my own normally, and I come back feeling 10 years younger.
Yeah, because. And you know, you do often say that, and I think you have such a busy lifestyle. I think for you to totally switch off, just travel on your own, it really is therapeutic. And it's a pity more people don't do that. That, you know, there's so much value from traveling on your own.
Yeah, but I used to be terrified of traveling on my own. Now, the first time I went to New York, I think I was 26. I was visiting a friend of mine over there. I was too afraid to get the subway or a cab by myself from from JFK. She had to send a friend to pick me up in the car, because I was so scared of traveling on my own. Roll on a few years later, and it's my favorite thing to do. I love solo traveling. I think is the best thing to do. You don't have to work to anyone else's agenda. I do like to relax quite a lot when I'm on holidays. I like to see the things I want to see, and you don't have to answer to anybody else. Plus, if you need to switch off and you have a busy life and you just want to relax and soak in the sun, read a book, do what you want to do, you can do it.
It is the way to do it, isn't it? Like, it really is. Yeah,
really is.
And so what was your worst travel experience?
Oh, Jesus. Let me think there now.
There's a list of them. There's a list of them.
Well, I start. Now, for a girl who loves traveling, I do seem to be a bit unfortunate, as you well know. I mean, okay, I was in a certain island off Portugal, and it wasn't great because the bathroom was very smelly and full of little creature things. Won't talk about that. The hotel is full of geriatrics. Won't talk about that one, because that was actually not the worst thing that experienced me. Go back to Thailand, actually, because not sure that it was the worst, but it was a bit of the accident. Like, when I talk about Bridget Jones and me, disasters and holidays, this happened to me. Anyway, I decided in the spur of the moment to go to Thailand. I was completely burnt out at work. I was exhausted. So this was a Wednesday. I was flying out on the Friday. I booked it and gone. So I hadn't put much organization into it, but everything was there. I was booked into the place I normally go to, la la la. So I got off the plane, and the first thing I did was I put my card into the ATM to get some BAT out, because I had no currency. And first of all, the plane was delayed by 6 hours. So I needed to get currency for a taxi, because although my hotel lift wasn't there, my phone was dead. I couldn't ring them or email them or anything like that. So I got the money out. I turned around to see something behind me because I was a bit tired. I turned around and of course my card got swallowed. So there I was, dead phone, no money, no way of contacting the hotel to wires in Thailand. Oh no, it gets more interesting after this. This is all the same trip, mind you. I hadn't told any of my family I was going either at that point, by the way. So I got to the resort I was staying on, because the security guard kindly rang them because they'd known them from the airport. And so they came and got me, went back to the hotel. That was fine. Next day, and then all my luggage had gone AWOL. So I was there in Thailand with no luggage.
You couldn't have that much bad luck that your card eaten. Oh, luggage gone. Everything.
Hang on a second. And it's in America. I still love the place, but I do. So after that, then the following day, I always pack just in case this happens. Like I'll pack a bikini, some underwear, little necessities in my carry-on bag, and a throw thing. Thankfully, I did that time. So
that's a really good tip.
It really is, like, every, really important. On my hand and my hand luggage at all times. You can roll up a little dress, I'll always have a little black sweater dress. A sleeveless one that can take you day or night, or put it over a bikini, some underwear, and Bob is your uncle and your toothbrush, and there you go. Yeah. So I went in. Anyway, I got locked the next day anyway. I was by the swimming pool there after my colonic irrigation or something fabulous like that. And I got the lock went in the loo. So I got locked into the loo there, in the public toilet there. Eventually I got out after much banging and clattering.
The public toilet of the spa. Oh my God. Were you shouting your heart out? Please save me, get me out.
Yes, I was, but I was a bit down from everywhere. So no one, eventually I got out there, but it took a bit of a trial. Then after that, I went, because I'd lost my card, I had to get money transfer from Western Union money transfer, because I'd no bank card. I'd never done that before. So I went down, the shuttle bus brought me down to the village. I went to Western Union, got my money, and I said I'd get a little tuk-tuk thing home, actually it was a motorbike tuk-tuk thing home. So I went on that, the little moped things, and then I realized your man thought I was a tourist fresh off the boat, because I knew where I was going. He didn't think I knew where I was going, and he took off the other direction. So I was going over to the other side of the island, so I got basically kidnapped.
I
made him drop me out. I passed the police station, I roared at him and screamed at everything to let me off the thing. So I did that then. So it was a stressful few days anyway. So I decided to go for a massage the following day. And following night, because I hadn't gone into the town, went around, did a bit of shopping, and you know, they've lovely spas and salons all over the place. So I said, go and get a nice long time massage. So in I went, and I noticed there was a lot of shoes in there and not a lot of people, but I didn't take much notice until I was lying down. And then face down, then I noticed very, very dollied up type masseuse. And then it dawned on me that I wasn't in a massage place. I was in a place of ill repute.
Oh, Elaine. Only you with all the shoes. Oh, my God. On top of everything.
Yeah. So that happened. So I extricated myself from that successfully. I'm very, obviously the interesting place, shall we say, was upstairs, and downstairs was kind of a pretend massage place. So obviously they knew before hands wandered where they shouldn't have got out of there anyway.
My God.
Then I got back to the place I was staying in, and my last morning before I was getting the flight, I said I'd go down to the beach. I was faffing around the place, had some lovely fruit, and I'd walk around the beach in my bare feet, and like look at the rising sun and all that. But sure, didn't I? Obviously, there'd been a party the day before. Didn't I stand in a hypodermic needle?
Oh, you didn't. Oh my God. Yeah. You didn't end up in hospital then.
No, I didn't, because thankfully I had very unattractive feet at the time. I had a big lumpy callus, and it went through the callus and not through any, it didn't clean any actual blood vessels or flesh. So
not to be said for the calluses.
Saved by the callus. On the way home, I was flying, I think it was Malaysia Airlines, actually, interestingly enough. But on the way home, this fellow went absolutely bonkers on the flight, and we were grounded for ages because he was chasing this poor woman in a hijab around the place trying to look up her skirt. So it took ages to take off. So that was my trip to Thailand. That was a memorable one.
That rivals Bridget Jones's.
Did I never tell you that before?
I can't believe I never heard that one. All I hear is you waxing lyrically about Thailand. I can't believe all that happened on the 1AAA. You really have to write that down.
And I've been down there. I've been back 5 or 6 times since then. It didn't turn me off at all because, you know what? The place is just so special.
Ah, yeah, it is. No, I mean, there are loads of islands that people haven't explored that, you know, you can go to and there's only a handful of people on them. So that's what I really like about it too.
The worst thing that happened to me was a bad sunburn when I was in the UAE. I had gone to a hammam, you know, those I do dive my spas, you know, and they had the Turkish baths and all that sort of stuff. And I'd put on my sunscreen before I left to go there, but of course they put the oil on and all that, and I forgot completely about it.
Scrub you down something else with the hammam.
Yeah, but I was a bit of a clown, wasn't I? It was very early in the morning. So I went out and had a walk around and I absolutely burnt my poor lady friends to bits. My boobies were in flitters. I couldn't wear a bra.
And
I had to call and take to work because I couldn't, when I got back, I couldn't wear a bra because you can't, at that time I was a newsreader. You cannot be a newsreader without a brassiere. Not when you're my size anyway. No,
you can't. That's something that we're trying.
Jamie, that one to your boss is great crap.
I know, but the UAE, it's really deceptive. It's so hot, the sun there. Oh my God. Like it is, it's desert.
But see, it's a dry heat. It's not a humid heat. So it's not as bad. The humidity in Thailand is quite suffocating sometimes. And the UAE, I didn't mind so much because one of my friends lived there, is over there quite a lot. And it's a dry heat. So I don't mind that as much. But the one thing I don't like about the UAE is the camels. I'm not a fan of camels.
Yeah, well, I suppose at least they do have taxis, and they've lady taxis too, you know, so there are other alternatives.
Yeah. If I don't ever have to get on another camel again, I don't care.
I've yet to get on the camel. I'm saving that for Lanzarote. Why?
They're bitey and spitty. Don't do it.
Oh, really? Okay.
If you perfume on or anything like that, they go nuts.
Now, speaking of large animals, I asked you, what's your favourite travel memento souvenir?
Oh, actually, I do love elephants. And I love elephants. I love elephants. And I was at a sanctuary in Thailand once on the safari in Africa with you that time. We saw a real life elephant up close. I do love elephants because when the trunk up, I was going through a really bad bout of depression donkeys years ago. And I remember Laura Birmingham, the beauty journalist, telling me, and she had me a picture of an elephant with the trunk up. That's for good luck. And I just latched onto that because it got me through a bad place. So everywhere I go, if I can find an elephant to bite, I will. And this is what I bought in Koh Samui.
Oh, he's
I have a
so
little
cute.
Family. That's,
oh,
that's the daddy elephant. Ears. And I've a, yeah, I have a mammy elephant and a baby. I have a baby elephant too. Yeah. So there's mammy, daddy and baby elephants. So I have loads of elephants. I actually have way too many elephants at this point now. I really want to stop.
And you know, I was lucky enough to be with you when you saw your first one in the wild, wasn't I? When we were in Africa. And I'll never forget the excitement of that. It was a really special safari. And
because I think it's not contrived. Yeah. It was a wild park. And animals came and they went. It was just like, wow. Mm-hmm. There he is.
We even got to see another animal you love, a unicorn. Do you remember seeing a unicorn?
Not a real, people think we're bonkers, Michelle.
Yes, we are bonkers.
It wasn't a real live unicorn. Was it a dick with one horn?
It's an antelope with one horn. The guy and the ranger said to us that they're called unicorns and they're a sign of really good luck.
Yeah, so we needed good luck that time because we just lost my lovely friend Emma, who was, of course, obsessed with unicorns. Which is why I have a tattoo of a unicorn on my bottom. So it was a good omen to see that.
Lovely Emma Hannigan, and you know, and it was quite emotional because it was quite one of those outstanding moments you'll never forget, where you kind of have a spiritual connection to a place or a moment, and you were thinking of Emma and you asked Emma for a sign, wasn't it?
Yeah, she literally the moments before, and because I was in this amazing place and my heart was broken and I couldn't enjoy myself. And I was like, this is just awful. Why am I not having more fun? This is an experience of a lifetime. And then literally within the next 5 minutes, the unicorn came along, freaked me out completely, but it was very comforting as well.
Absolutely. And I just love when coincidences and things like that happen, because it really, it concretes for me, you know, my belief that we're all really connected, you know, spiritually, and places have an energy, like Thailand is your good place and your happy place. And that's what I love about travel, when you're finding connections, you're meeting people you wouldn't meet. And had Vernon not said, oh, look, there's a unicorn, like you looked at me and you nearly jumped out of your skin. And it's just lovely when things like that happen when you travel. And I do think you need to travel for things like that to happen sometimes.
You do. And that's why It's just that I think people are very important as well. You meet people you will never meet before or again. In every single trip is unique. Even if you go back to the same place, it's unique.
Like
every single time.
That nutcase you were filming, he was doing his own music. Do you remember? And all the local lads came out. They had a different instrument each.
Oh,
do you remember?
Yeah,
they were all dancing.
They were an orchestra. God, they took us for a ride. Shower of fools that day. But God bless them. They tried. They were characters, and it's something you won't forget.
I'll never forget it because we were in an extreme part of South Africa. To explain it to the listeners, it's like going to Ireland and going to Leitrim. You know what I mean? The part of South Africa we were in was not Cape Town or Johannesburg. No, it was like we were in the Leitrim side. And it was just that. Yeah. Now, Leitrim's a fantastic county. I adore it. And there's loads to do in it. And by no means am I being derogatory about Leitrim. But it's remote.
Lesser known.
Lesser known. Lesser known is the key. But there was something beautiful about that, you know, and the way the people were. I love that when you get really to meet the indigenous people who are just natural doing their thing.
Yeah. And the way that you're warned before you go to South Africa. Don't go here, don't go there, don't leave this, don't leave that. I remember one of our friends had left a very expensive camera bag behind.
That's
and
right.
the ladies in that village in Limpopo, the town, kept it and ran after him and said, here, and they could have sold that for thousands. And that's a huge honesty that you don't hear the good things, you only hear the bad things, I think, when it comes to South African travel sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I remember taking a photo of one of the lovely ladies. She was in the hair salon and they were beading their hair. Do you remember?
Yeah, I still have it, yeah.
And I think, I don't know if you took the photo. Was it you that took the photo? And the lady said to me, and the lady, she turned to us and just, you take me back to Ireland, she said.
Lovely.
It's so lovely meeting people like that. It's so... moving. It really is what travel's about, you know.
Yeah.
I'll better get back to my. We could talk about South Africa all day. I'll go back to my question. So who would be your favorite traveling companion? Well, you see, you do like to travel solo, so that's an open question. Yeah, now
that would be me.
Excellent.
I'm my own favorite traveling companion. I'm not going to lie to you. I love it.
Yeah, and where is top of your bucket list now for when this is over and we can travel? Where do you want to go most?
I want to go to the Galapagos. I think a lot of people want to go to the Galapagos. And I also want to go to the Arctic.
The Antarctic.
The Antarctic. The one down below. And of see course, some penguins.
And of course, you were meant to go to Galapagos.
I was meant to go to Ecuador and I was meant to go to the Galapagos. And I didn't get there, but... Actually, last year was supposed to be my year of amazing travel. I had saved up all my holidays. I was supposed to be in Caribbean cruise. I was supposed to be in the Galapagos and in Ecuador with an indigenous villagers. I was supposed to be in Girona, I think. No, is Girona in Spain? Italy.
Girona is Spain. So Giorona. I was thinking of Genoa. Yeah. Girona is just north of Barcelona, about 100.
Yeah, well, I was supposed to go to an amazing Michelin star restaurant there that I've been waiting years to get on the list. And I was supposed to also go to Thailand for my birthday. I did all planned. Last year was my year. The pandemic hit. And you know what? I was getting down to Cork now. I'm delighted. Never mind anywhere else. But you know, we're all here. We're all safe.
We're so excited.
I'm still in one piece so I can go there again.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. We're all excited. And where would be your favourite place in Ireland then? You know, if you were to pick a county or a place or a town, even better, if you can think of them.
Let me think, where do I love in Ireland if I have to run away somewhere? I don't really have a particular one place because it's kind of strange because I've been living in Dublin so long and I'm from Cork. If I'm outside of Dublin, I tend to stay in Cork. I do adore Cork. I do love Kerry because around Killorglin in that area in Carra Lake, my ancestors are from there. So you won't find a more beautiful place than that, I think myself. It is gorgeous down there. It's not too far away from where my home place is. Like you get there in an hour from where we are in Cork. So because I'm half Kerry, it would be somewhere in Cork or Kerry. Killarney, the Muckers Park Hotel in Killarney, I love. The spa there is absolutely stunning. And that area, if I'm to go on a staycation now, Killarney is where I'd be heading. And I recently discovered Donegal, thanks to Noel Cunningham.
Right.
So
I
go up there as well.
Yeah, it's lovely and unspoilt. It is quite similar in ways to Kerry because of that dramatic landscape, isn't it?
But
the wild Atlantic
rugged
way. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's so rugged.
And if you get good weather, I can't remember. Did you get good weather up there?
I did. Yeah, I got good weather in Donegal.
Oh, that's good. It makes all the difference. And there's some dreamy little beaches and islands just off it. Yeah, no, I love Donegal myself. And so you don't have a kind of a secret place or a hidden gem of a place that you would recommend?
Well, do you know what? And it's very near home. And I know you've been there as well, but if you do love literature and you do love beautiful parks, beautiful areas, Donnerill Park in Dumens in Donnerill, County Cork is near where I grew up. I went to school there. The house is beautiful, recently renovated the ground floor, so you can go in and see that when things open up again. But the grounds are lovely. There's two, I think there were the biggest man-made lakes in Ireland at the time when they were made specifically for Lord Donnerill to go fishing in. And there's deer there. It's beautiful walks, a lovely area. We're blessed to have it on our doorstep. And that is such a little hidden gem. And then a few miles up there, you can go up the Ballyharrows and you can go on lovely mountain trails. I mean, there's so much in that little area, and you wouldn't think of things like that. So that's because it's everything so close together. That's where I do love to I love to wander off there. And there's lovely a place called Cafe Townhouse. It's a lovely tea room in the village, and then actually there's another tea room in the house itself. And it's just beautiful. You just ramble around, and there's bridges and streams and fish and nature. And it's apparently Ireland's most popular free tourist attraction.
Really, the
But
Ballyharris?
it's no,
Oh,
the
the
Donnerill Park.
Donnerill Park. All right,
Yeah, but it's absolutely lovely, and that's the hidden gem. But I think because we've lived so near it all my life, I maybe
you took it for
the
granted,
dust
perhaps, when you
took
lived
it for
there.
granted. It's not,
Yeah.
yeah, because you'd sneak off school and snog the boys down the park, you know, and stuff like that. So, but it's absolutely gorgeous there now, absolutely lovely.
And of course, it has that incredible tradition, doesn't it? It was where the first lady Mason was made, wasn't it
Freemason, yeah.
the first
She
lady Freemason was called. She was
because she
listening
hid behind,
in.
she's in a
Yeah.
priest's hole. She was in a priest's cubby, yeah. So she had to be, she overheard a meeting of the Freemasons. So she had to be brought into the fold. If you look at Canon Sheehan, of course, the author, he was the Donnerill
Course.
parish priest. Edmund Spenser, of course, was the Fairy Queen. He was from Donnerill. Elizabeth Bowen, Bowen's Court, that's the area as well. So it's drenched in literary
Steeped in
tradition as
literature,
well.
yeah, and horse racing. When you've got the history of the steeplechase comes from
Yeah,
there too, doesn't it?
the spire. Buttevant and the Spire in Donegal, they're two villages a few miles apart, and that's where the very first steeplechase was. And of course, that area as well, you've got beautiful animals, horse trainers, all that sort of stuff. So if you want to trek on horses, not far away to look either. So there's a lot there. I think we're so spoiled in Ireland with the highlights we have, like the Donegals and the Kerrys and places and the Galways. You forget that every single county and even places like North
Absolutely, yeah.
Cork, who you wouldn't think would be a tourist attraction, actually is.
And I stayed in a beautiful country house there. I think it was Donnerail,
Longaville.
and it wasn't Longaville. I stayed there, and it's fabulous. That's in Mallow. No,
Yeah.
it was a lovely. Oh my goodness, it was like I don't remember the name of it, but I was down there for the literary festival a few years ago, talking about
Spring
one of my
Court Hall.
books. But that rings a bell. Yes, I
That's
remember.
actually, that is where I, that's literally a kilometre from the door of my mother's house, and most of my sisters got married there.
It's
Yeah.
gorgeous, gorgeous. Yeah,
So the family of it's a beauty, and it actually won last week, I do believe. It won an award for the best country house hotel in Cork.
oh, really?
One, I'm not entirely sure which award I saw it on Facebook, but yeah, so it's
They do a
lovely there.
cracking breakfast. I'll never forget the breakfast. It was really
See, I never
good.
really stay over. Can we go to the weddings and roll down the hill home?
Yeah, you would though. And as you say, so many counties in the interior of Ireland ha are gems. Like I'm thinking of Loughrane Castle, up
Yeah.
in Leitrim, which is just amazing, and beautiful hotels like on the lake, the Wineport Lodge. Off the top of my head, there are so many of them in the
Yeah.
interior. You don't have to be at the coast. It's absolutely
So, and if I can't
smashing.
get away this summer, I'm just going to be going on a tour of them if we're allowed.
Yeah. And food now, Elaine. What is your favorite food? What country or well, I know you like Thai food, but have you ever had
Yeah.
unusual food in a place?
Oh God, of course I have. I've had very strange things in my mouth. That sounds very bad, I'm sorry, but you
That's
know
very
what
naughty.
I mean. If you want strange food, Australia really is the place to be going, I think. I crocodile soup. Crocodile tastes like fishy chicken. It's disgusting. I wouldn't recommend it. Kangaroo, ostrich, what else? Very strange things. And the normal snails and stuff like that. But I think everywhere you go, you should try something a little bit out of your comfort zone if you possibly can. But
And how did you find Australia? Was it a long time ago you were there?
I actually went to Australia when I was 27. I was moving to live there. But then I was offered a promotion at work, so I kind of went for 7 weeks instead and did a tour and went back home. But it's lovely. I only did the East Coast. I'd love to go back and spend more time there, but it's just fabulous. And I went, actually, that's what broke the back of my solo traveling. I went over with my cousin because she was moving home. But when I came back, I went on a Contiki tour by myself. We sailed around the Whitsundays. It was stunning. Went to Fraser Island, Whitehaven Beach. The sand is so fine, you can't bring your watch there because it will get into the workings of your watch. It is an amazing place. So unspoiled. I mean, on Fraser Island, there's a lake. You're not supposed to wear sunscreen lotion because you contaminate the lake. You can literally drink the water as you're swimming. That's how clear it is.
Oh,
It's
lovely.
phenomenal. So I'd love to go back again. And even the food there, Balmain bugs, I'm not sure if you've ever had them in Sydney. They're a very Australian delicacy. They're like a shellfish, but they look like big cockroaches, but they're not. They're gorgeous. And oh, even going to Newcastle, the wineries there. If it wasn't so far away, it would be the ideal place to live.
Yeah, it is. It has a lot to offer Australia, and it's such a large continent or island. People forget you do need time, and it really is a bucket list trip, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I only scratched the surface and I was there for ages.
Now, I remember getting a text from you. I was in Toronto at the time, and it was the day that Trump was elected, and you sent me a little text and you said, "I'm not going to America."
Oh, I suppose
Again,
that's right. I was supposed to go to America and I hadn't been since.
that's right. He said, "I'm not going there till he's gone." So he's gone, right? He's gone. All is well. Elaine, where do you want to go in America?
Oh, God, nowhere really. I'm
No.
not a fan of America, but maybe I haven't seen the right, like, I know people who are obsessed with the place. They love it. Maybe I just haven't experienced it. Maybe I'm more of a laid-back LA kind of person than a manic New York person. Or maybe I'll land in the middle. I just don't want to be anywhere that's too intolerant. I can't deal. And maybe because the States has got such bad press, but I wouldn't fancy anywhere that's too intolerant. But I'm sure there's places everywhere you can just
Well,
land and be lovely.
it is such a vast country that I would say, to go to the lesser known states is how you do get to know the states, because
Vermont sounds nice. I've always liked the sound of Vermont.
Vermont is lovely, and New England. Have you been to Boston?
I have never. I've only been to New York and Florida.
All right, so yeah. Well, it's waiting there for you to be, because do you know what? It actually, I think, is going to be a really popular choice for people, because it's the perfect place to take an RV, or to go to national parks and to enjoy the great wide open spaces coming up next year for big bucket list
Yeah,
trips. I think
maybe.
you don't sound convinced. I think you'll be heading
No, it's
east.
not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will be, unless if you in the States, maybe Hawaii would be the place, or Alaska. If I was to go push to go to somewhere in the States, those are the two states I'd pick.
Well, you've been to the Caribbean. What did you think of that?
Oh, I loved it. I do you know what that's I did. Oh God, it was fabulous. I could quite happily stay a few weeks there as well. And of course I was in Mauritius, so I've my sister's in-laws, and like my brother-in-law's Mauritian and his family over there, and I was there as well a couple of years ago. So it's just, I mean, just give me an unspoiled beach, a bit of rum, some nice food, some good company. I don't need the 5-star luxury, really. All I just want is a bit of sunshine and chill time. God, what I wouldn't do for that now.
Oh, I know, we all need that. But I know you also are interested in history. Is there any place you've been where you found historically fascinating?
Do you know where I found fascinating, actually? And a lot of people won't, they kind of overlook it when they go there. Now, Crete is a massive tourist destination for sun holidays, but there's a place in Crete called Knossos, which I'm sure you know being a teacher. And it
Absolutely.
was actually the palace of King Minos of Crete. And of course, he had a daughter called Ariadne, and the Minotaur, Theseus and the Minotaur, that whole legend springs from there. And there was a theory at one point that the labyrinth was because if you go and see the ruins, you can look around and it's quite small, and maybe the actual labyrinth itself was the palace. And there's conflicting reports on that now, but I just thought it was fascinating walking around those ruins. And it was 40 degrees heat when I was there. I dragged my friends there. They sat in the coffee shop while I wandered around. They had no interest, high up or low down. But I went around there and I loved it. And the first flushing toilet in existence, apparently, I could be wrong, was, that's what the guy told me anyway, was in Knossos.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, the palace in Knossos. But I thought that was quite interesting.
And I think Greece is going to be hugely popular as well when we can travel. I think they're already opening up to.
I've never been to mainland Greece. Mm. I've only ever been to Crete, but I'm obsessed with Greek and Roman history at the moment. So if it was quiet, I'd love to go to Florence. If it's, you know, see all the art and the Medici's and the Borgias and all that sort of stuff. I love delving into that sort of history, because all I've been doing in lockdown is watching various historical documentary series. I've never been to China. I've never been to Japan. So I want to go to China and Japan. Not too fussed on India either, to be quite honest. But yeah, so all these places I have now on my radar that I need to see.
Yeah. And I think I remember you going to Ethiopia at one stage, didn't you?
Yes, I forgot about Ethiopia. I went to Ethiopia on my way to the Seychelles. Yes. Ethiopia was fascinating. The oldest human being to ever exist that has been discovered, her remains, she's there in the museum in Addis. And the such fun, they have a thing called honey wine. We're talking about food and drink in Ethiopia. It is so sweet, so delicious, so lovely, but by Janey Mac, it's strong. So don't have any more, really. You shouldn't anyway.
I couldn't. Mead? Isn't mead from honey? Mead, an ancient Irish potion.
It's very similar to mead. But if you don't expect it to be that strong, at least my beloved.
Oh, and now Elaine, you know
up,
me.
He was up dancing with the dancers.
I'll have the gin and tonic lollies at 11 o'clock in the morning. You know me, that's what I'd be.
Do you have the gin and tonic lollies at 11 o'clock in the morning in Johannesburg? Do you, Michelle, on St. Patrick's Day?
That's what you have. Oh, that's right. St. Patrick's Day. That was the last time we kind of drowned the shamrock. My God, that was mad, wasn't it?
Yeah. 3 years ago now.
Yeah. Time flies. So, look, your bucket list, really, it sounds like you have an idea. You'll be heading back to Thailand anyway, for sure. Have you made
first stop Thailand, then Japan, then China. Maybe China or Japan first. I'm not entirely sure yet. That kind of area. I've been to Malaysia. So I don't really want to go. Well, I could go back there as well. Who knows?
Yeah, and people don't realize it's quite a strict Muslim country. And people are lovely though. They're very like the Thai people.
Yeah,
they're very gentle and lovely.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be staying there for the crack for a few weeks. You know, it's
Indonesia, more relaxing.
Malaysia,
place.
Yeah,
definitely more relaxing. So what is the most important hotel facility for Elaine Crowley?
Well, you know very well, Michelle. The most important thing for me is a spa area. I love being pampered. I love relaxing. I need someone to jump up and down on my back and get all the knots and the tension out. I do enjoy that. I just love trying out new types of spa therapies. I mean, when I was in Lanzarote that time, the thalassotherapy was lovely. When I was in Thailand, I went to Shiva Som, probably one of the best spas in the world. Oh my goodness gracious me. And in Koh Samui, you have everywhere in Thailand, actually, there's amazing therapists. But oh my goodness, yes, you do need a good. I do love a good spa. Oh yeah, God, I'm getting all upset now because I haven't had a massage in over a year.
I'll change the subject quickly. To where would you tell 18-year-old Elaine Crowley to go?
She's 18, or in general?
In general, 18-year-old, you would tell her.
I would tell an 18-year-old Elaine Crowley to stay in Dublin a few weekends and discover Dublin as opposed to anywhere else in the world, because I lived in Dublin from the age of, I was just turned 17, and I never discovered anything about Dublin. I never toured it. I went to college and I went home every weekend. So I would tell an 18-year-old Elaine Crowley, stay up in Dublin and discover the city you're going to be living in for the next few years, because I'm still discovering it and it's still one of the tourist spots I haven't explored properly.
But that's great advice, and I hope when this lockdown is over you will be coming out to Howth and we will have a lovely lunch like we had before in East Cafe, and we'll watch the sunset go down over the West Pier, and I very much look forward to doing that.
Oh God, yes, hopefully soon.
Yeah, hopefully soon. Hopefully soon. And have you any plans for Elaine Crowley? I mean, your show is hugely successful and you've kept the spirits of the nation going over the
Oh,
last
thank
year,
you.
especially. You really have. And I know your viewership has gone through the roof with it because you are a great beacon of hope for everybody while we're needing to be cheered up in the afternoon.
Do you
have
know
you
what?
other plans?
Any plans? The only plans I'm making is to not have any plans, because there's no point in having plans. You don't know what's coming around the corner. There's no point giving out about the government. There's no point giving out about NEFRA. There's no point giving out about the virus, because there's nothing we can do about it. So take every day as it comes and be glad we're on the planet.
That is great advice, Elaine. And I look forward to hearing your travel tales when you do get traveling again and to talking to you again on the show, because I look forward to it every 2 weeks. It really cheers me up talking to you. And I know we get great feedback from viewers. They always say, oh, I want to go here. I've just gone there. Or, you know, it's lovely to talk about nice.
We'll get there soon, Michelle. We'll get there.
We will. We will. We plan a big trip. We're due a big one, Elaine. Elaine, thank you so much for giving me your time. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
You're very welcome. And the next time you can come skiing with me, I promise I won't kill you.
Oh, well, you know me ski now. I've progressively got worse over the years and I do après-ski to perfection. I have perfected that.
I just know how to ski straight into the bar. That's what we'll do.
And I'll be there waiting for you with nice hot chocolate and rum in it. Take care,
mind yourself, Michelle. Take care.
Thanks, Elaine.
Brilliant. Bye.
Well, I really enjoy that. There's nothing like reminiscing with a good pal, and we have certainly had our share of fun over our travels. But now, some food for thought about where you might like to go this summer. My next guest is Michelle McGuire, the CEO of Ireland's Blue Book. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Michelle. Delighted to have an opportunity to chat with you.
Oh, very, very good. And you know what a big fan I am of all your beautiful properties around the country. And how many is it now? Is it 63 you have? Or?
We have 57 now throughout the island of Ireland. So that's country houses, castles, lodges all around the island.
Yeah. Oh, fabulous. And what's happening? What's new that's happening with the Blue Book?
Well, I suppose all the owners have been very busy during lockdown, looking at their properties, doing a lot of painting, decorating, refurb. So when you do get the chance to go away this summer, hopefully for your staycation, everything will be looking rather fabulous. They're doing a huge amount of work on their gardens as well, keeping busy in
gorgeous.
The gardens.
Gorgeous.
So a lot of the Blue Book houses would be famous for their gorgeous landscape gardens. And I think this summer, they're really, really going to look special, and perhaps a lot of al fresco dining. They're looking at what they can do with their gardens and allowing people maybe to dine outside.
Yeah, oh, that would be lovely. Oh, my goodness. Because I've been to quite a few, and I know. And you know, quite a few have that farm to fork, you know, addition, which is just gorgeous, where they you can see where they're taking their
That's always been the philosophy. Yeah, with the Blue Book for many, many years, perhaps before it was trendy to use that word. A lot of these Blue Book properties on very large estates. So that means they have orchards, they have gardens, so they can get that really locally sourced food with very few food miles. So it's really coming from the estate garden into your plate.
Yeah.
Very sustainable.
Absolutely beautiful, beautiful food. My goodness, I can think of quite a few properties I've been to where I have literally been wowed. Our Tara is one of them. Wow, incredible food. And up in County Down, isn't it?
Derry, actually.
Oh, Derry.
Yeah,
Derry,
our Tara.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful country house. It's Victorian. The chef there is Ian Orr. Some people might recognise him. He did some of the TV shows in the UK, the Great British Menu, shows like that. So they have fabulous food there in Derry and Artara. But we also have Bishopsgate in the city of Derry. So if you want maybe the combination of a country stay in Artara in Derry and then into the vibrant city of Derry, you have Bishopsgate. So that's something people can maybe look at for this year.
That's a super idea, Michelle. And, you know, I can vouch for the city of Derry. I was up there for their Maritime Festival 2 years ago, probably 3 years ago now. But it was just simply stunning to see the city walls. I believe they're the only maiden city to have their original walls intact from the 1600s.
So, yeah. It's a beautiful historical city. There's lots to do there. And I would say that if you were going on your staycation this year, treat it the way you would if you were going away to France or Germany or a different part of the world. Do some research. Plan your local tours. You know, plan what you're going to do. And you'll find there's so much to do in these cities. And treat it like a tourist, like as if you're an overseas visitor coming to Ireland.
Well, that's it. We're all so busy heading off to the sun that we forget, you know, certain towns that have got such great history. And that's a lovely idea, Michelle. That's a very creative way of taking a holiday, I feel. Perhaps you have a Blue Book voucher or, you know, given it as a gift at some time. You could take a 2-centre holiday.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think we've got to make our staycations our holiday this year. So perhaps you're going to visit Northern Ireland, extend your trip, go into Donegal. Or perhaps you always go to Mayo. How about this year you add on a few nights in County Sligo, a beautiful part of Ireland. So maybe do that combination of somewhere that you've gone to all your life that you know well, the Connemara's, the Kerry's, and then pick a different part of Ireland that you've never been to and explore it this year. But do your research, find out what you can do in that county, and it'll probably surprise you, because remember, millions of visitors come to Ireland to see these attractions. So let's enjoy it this year when we've got it to ourselves.
Absolutely, yes. And you know, something that I have neglected is your blue books that are in cities, because I generally love escaping to your properties that are out, you know, in their own land, and you wake up to rolling hills. But you know, you do have properties like in Dublin City, and I'm thinking of the Wilder, for example, which is fantastically positioned,
it's
close
so
to Stephen's Green.
Yeah, a lovely historical hotel, very chic, very trendy. I know we're all designing or redesigning our homes during lockdown. So I think if you stay in the Wilder, you'll get lots of ideas, because I love the interior design there. So anytime I go there, I come back with lots of ideas about what I should be doing in my own home. It's a great location. I often think if you're going away, maybe with a group of girlfriends, whenever that happens, I know we're all looking forward to it, that would certainly be the perfect place to stay. Close to a lot of the restaurants as well, like Dax or down to Chapter One for a lovely meal. We're also tired of cooking. I think once we come out of lockdown, we should really treat ourselves fabulous dining.
During level 3, I think it was, and we were allowed to move within our own county, I was fortunate to have a lovely night in the Wilder. And myself and my other half, we didn't want to leave the room because it was so gorgeous. And the bath was so luxurious, so big. And it was just so lovely. What we did was we ordered a takeaway into the room, and it was a delight. It was really,
I think,
really
we're all going to enjoy everything once we get to the next stage. We had lots of people in Dublin taking breaks in the Merion Hotel when we were at that level where you could take a break in your own county. They were going to restaurant Patrick Gibo's for a very special meal and then an overnight stay. Yeah, I think we've got to spoil ourselves this summer, but I think we've got to make a real effort to make the most of our staycations, you know, do our research, plan it all out. If you're into hiking, look at the best hikes in County Antrim or County Donegal or wherever you're going to go. So I think do the research this summer and then plan it out.
And of course, you know, where better than Kerry? And you do have some special properties down there. I think there's one with a special, you know, lovely, where you can experience a tent, isn't that?
Oh, yes.
Glamping.
That's glamping. It's the Hideaway at Drumquinnan Manor. And so for those of you who want to do something special, they're absolutely gorgeous. I think everyone should just have a look at the Blue Book website and you'll see some fabulous pictures of that. But also, if you like your 5-star luxury, you do have the Park Kinmare, and that's a beautiful 5-star property. So if you're not into the glamping, then you have that option as well. And I know the park are working on a big refurb at the moment. So we're really excited to see what that's going to be like when we emerge from lockdown.
Yeah, it looks super. And I think the addition of walks and, you know, your grounds attached to your property is going to be really popular for people looking for places to stay, where you can kind of have everything on your doorstep. I'm thinking of Gann House myself, which I visited last summer, and again, culinary delight. Oh my goodness, beyond fantastic food. But you're right in the centre of Carlingford. You've got lovely loch out there, and behind you, you've got the mountain to climb.
It's a beautiful part of the island. If you're from Dublin or based in Dublin, it's a very quick run up to Carlingford, and then you have, like you said, that beautiful scenery. So you could be out doing something different every day and then coming back having a lovely meal at night.
It's a place
part of the island.
You can park up and you know, we did visit a couple of pubs and you know for food for lunch and that. So like, but we didn't have to get into our car, and that's lovely. If you can, whether you're in the city or in the country, you can leave your car behind because you'll have everything close to you with a Blue Book property, I think.
Yeah, you were mentioning about walks, and a lot of our properties have looped walks on site on the estate. So you can actually be out on property doing a nice walk. I know Rosslea are over in Connemara, just finishing a new walk at their property. But also, if you're in Connemara, you have the National Park there as well. So really, I think it's about getting out and doing things this summer as well.
Well, now something I want to learn to do, and you know, my great grandfather was a fisherman. I'm from the seaside town of Howth, and you know, it's something that I have never done. I've never held a rod. And when I was down in Curraghriva House on lovely Loch Corrib, I know that they had the facility with the fishing boats, and there were rods hanging all over the place. It's absolutely gorgeous, really authentic old country house.
It's just so peaceful there.
So yeah. So one of my missions this year is to go fishing somewhere. You know, somewhere.
Well, I would recommend Curraghriva, because you can also do something that's very romantic, is they can arrange a picnic out on some of the little islands on Loch Corrib, which I think sounds absolutely delightful. You pack up your picnic, you head off in the flat bottom boat out to one of the islands. And I think that would be absolutely wonderful. And the other thing they've put in is a sauna on the lake. And again, I would take a look at some of the pictures online to have a look at this. But you can imagine, sometimes it's not sunny in Connemara.
Yes.
Imagine sitting in a sauna and looking out over Loch Corrib. I think that'd be incredibly peaceful.
Oh, and, after a day's fishing, Michelle, you have me sold.
After a day's fishing.
After all, that'd be fantastic.
But you're talking about learning new things. Why not go horse riding this summer if you've never been? I mean, we have Mount Juliet Estate and Castle Leslie Estate. Both have equestrian centres on site. So if you're going away with your family, maybe with some kids, you want to keep them busy and active. That's something you could do.
Well,
but also
absolutely.
An older skill.
Well, my dad loves horse riding, and I've taken him all over America. We stayed in ranches, and you know, we've enjoyed. Actually, the topic for my latest novel is about a road trip, a father and daughter road trip, staying in ranches and horse riding and all that. And this year, because we couldn't go off on an epic trip, we went to Limerick, and we went to Connemara, and we went horse riding. And horse riding in Ireland is just glorious, because we have such landscapes.
It is, yeah.
And I do actually have the experience of taking my daughter to Mount Juliet, and we went horse riding, and I have to say it was fantastic. It was a fantastic experience, because the grounds have such stories and history to them. You know, there's so much heritage we have.
And that's the case with a lot of Blue Book properties. I mean, we have hotels from, I suppose, Barbastown Castle is probably the oldest, from the 12th century onwards, but I think nearly every century of Irish history is represented in some of our buildings. Yeah, but Mount Juliet is very special. There's lots to do on site. Like, there's golf, there's a Michelin star restaurant, there's the equestrian centre. They have a kids club there as well, to keep your children busy if you want to relax in the spa or on the golf course.
Absolutely. I'm sure they've got the championship golf course, which is going to host the Open this year, the Irish Open. Yeah. You know, that's it. We really are spoiled. And you made me think of somewhere else there. Oh, for lovely activities. My children were very fortunate. They came with me to Glenlow Abbey, and we had a wonderful time with archery, and a guy called Jürgen Hicks, who has a fantastic falconry exhibition. Yeah. And we had a wonderful time. The kids learned all about owls and kestrels and all sorts of
Glenlow is really, really special. And I don't know if you had the opportunity, but they have the carriages from the old Orient Express, the Pullman carriages there as a restaurant, which is really romantic. And it's actually the last place I stayed before lockdown last year with my husband. And we went for a lovely meal there. And then we went to their, they had the cinema on site, and we were able to watch Murder on the Orient Express there, which is something really special to do. But that's a great gateway city. Like Galway, you could have the city break in Galway and then go out to Connemara and spend a few days in Connemara. So combining again the city and the countryside.
Staycation. Oh, absolutely. It's a wonderful idea. And yes, I can vouch for that Pullman restaurant. They have the complete with sound effects. You feel like you're just pulling away from a station and the Frank Sinatra singing. And it's great.
Oh, no, it's really lovely. And it's a memory that stayed with us during lockdown.
it's really great to have these special stays in our own home country, you know, because they are so much more accessible if you feel like having a little cheeky weekend or a night away and you've been to a property before and your family or that might know that that's what you like, and they can spoil you and get you a Blue Book voucher, and then you can go to one of their properties. So it's lovely.
Yeah, we've the vouchers have been selling well during lockdown, and it's really interesting to see the messages. There's lots of thank you messages. Thank you for looking after my parents. I really appreciate you doing all the shopping. And then all the missed birthdays, we're seeing those messages, which is a little bit sad. Just saying, sorry, you're not having a 50th birthday party. Enjoy this when you can go away. So I think we're all going to have a really good time. Probably a little bit down the road, but we'll all really start to enjoy ourselves and get out there and enjoy the countryside as well.
I think we are. And my own father turned 80 last weekend, and that's what I gave him, a weekend down in Dunbrody House. So he's looking
very good.
So he's very excited about that. You can't wait for it to open.
That's actually the first booking I've made for myself. And I'm bringing away my father and mother-in-law to Dunbrody. So we're really looking forward to that. We have it booked. Hopefully everything will be open. But as you know, Michelle, the hotels understand that if people have to cancel, they can cancel. So there's going to be so much flexibility this summer. So I encourage people to book, have something to look forward to, but realize that if they have to change it, it is easy to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's great. And you do have the security. Your vouchers are indefinite. There is no time restriction with them, which is a wonderful facility.
No, we love, there's a little competition between the hoteliers to see what's the oldest one they'll get every season. You know, and you know, we'll get ones from the 1990s back in as well. So yeah, no, we just want people to use them this summer, get away, enjoy Ireland when we can. Yeah,
and there's much out there to be explored. Michelle, thank you so much for your inspirational chat. I cannot wait for us to be traveling into county now soon, please God. So hopefully, listeners can find out more on irelandsbluebook.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Irelandsbluebook.com for a lot of inspiration, and have a look at our Instagram if you want to look at some of the beautiful houses all around.
Absolutely. Get your inspiration from the social media. Thanks very much for joining me, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. It was my pleasure.
Well, that's all for this week. I've an action-packed podcast next week when John Sheehan from the Dubliners joins me with some very novel travel tales as he takes me away on a journey with his new album and his book of poetry. I'll just remind you that if you're looking for a read this weekend, my novel, Journey to the Heartland, is still only £1.99 on Amazon Kindle. But you can buy a copy of the book directly from Kenny's Bookshop online, or if you go to thenovelpress.com, you can reach out and get it there too. So ciao for now, and as ever, I leave you with Pat Coldrick and REO Sunrise.